listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos, Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents Now What? The sermon by the Reverend Rick Skidmore, presented on Sunday, April 5th, 2015.
So some folks say that dreams are really your subconscious trying to work through what your conscious mind or your conscious self won't for whatever reason. And some folks fancy themselves as expert in the art of dream interpretation. Me, I just think you should enjoy your dreams for what stories they tell you, no matter how odd or shadowy or fragmented or incomplete. And I think the same can be useful when we look at the resurrection stories in the New Testament, in the Gospels. Because all of these narratives are really fragmented and shadowy and almost unbearably understated. No choirs of angels, no pyrotechnics, no sudden explosions of light or sound. You know, all of that came later, courtesy of Hollywood. But the gospel storytellers are really far from clear as to what happened. It begins in the dark. The women arrive at this tomb in that odd, misty light between night and daybreak. Then there's the sound of voices, of people running, fear, joy, confusion, tears, misunderstandings, rumors, so much implied with so few words. And in Mark's gospel, which we read Mark's account earlier in the service, Mark was the earliest of the gospel writers. His narrative is really short and I think very mysterious, leaving us again with no clear appearance of the risen Jesus, you know, to put a nice happy ending to this story of suffering and death. We want an ending that's satisfying, an ending that ties all the loose ends and answers all the questions and leaves everybody living happily ever after. But what we get instead is akin to something like the controversial final episode of The Sopranos, where everything is left unresolved. The screen goes dark. And Mark's story here of Jesus' ministry and passion and implied resurrection really terminates quite abruptly, you'll notice, with fear and flight and silence. Or maybe not. I mean, if we accept this sparse account, just 8 verses, if we accept this sparse account, if you've grown old and tired and maybe a little bit cynical in your faith, steeped in doubts and burdened by technical questions, then I think that Mark really does deliver here. Mark's ending, for me, I think is really the most compelling and the most profound, because Mark insists that we got to finish the story for ourselves. I mean, left without a nice, clean, cogent ending just may be the very thing we need, you know, to get our faith moving again. Belief and disbelief trade places in these stories of Jesus' resurrection, just as they trade places in our hearts. Only belief and disbelief really don't describe anymore what I think of when I think of the resurrection. Something happened, is the way I put it to myself. Something happened that really did set the world on its head. Something happens in me when I hear that proclamation that Christ is risen. And in this church, in our church, you can reject that statement completely, or you can believe it completely. But I think what matters most is that we understand, you know, resurrection as this mystery to embrace and to celebrate and to live with in the here and now. I think the triumph of Easter is really more about imagination than it is about certainty. So what next? What do you imagine for yourself in terms of your own resurrection, in terms of the path of your own ascension to a higher spiritual place? I think this really is the question most worth asking on Easter Sunday morning. What sort of life do you look forward to? And not just beyond the grave, but beyond the coffee hour. Do you anticipate anything transformative happening in your life today? Tomorrow? The day after that? Can love survive tragedy and defeat and even death? Jesus spent, I think, his whole life trying to get people to move their hope of heaven into the here and now, trying to help us see that if you identify with what is transitory and fleeting in yourself, then you live a life in isolation and separate from a life of limitation and anxiety. But if you identify with what is eternal in you, a spirit of love, a spirit of truth, and if you can get in touch with that spirit, then you can transcend and live beyond the physical. Then you can ascend to new heights. I think that's the good news of the gospel in a nutshell. I think that's what Jesus came to tell us. In Christ, you know, our imaginations have been given this spacious new way to look at life and death. A new possibility for us to consider. That death is never the last word in the drama of life. And that what we do in this life, in this moment, does indeed echo into eternity. I think, ironically, it may be science that eventually cracks the code of God's DNA. Scientists, you know, in the realm of theoretical physics speak matter-of-factly about realms that exist apart and beyond what we can know, beyond the material realm that we perceive and understand. I mean, for centuries, science has been tied to this kind of mechanistic model of cause and effect and observable facts and data. But now many scientists are saying, well, maybe there's more to it than that. Maybe there are things that you can't measure because we've been thinking in ways that are too rigid and too small. How you and I imagine this world has a huge impact on how we experience this world. There's a line at the end of Matthew's gospel describing the disciples' experience of the resurrected Christ. Quote, they saw him, they worshiped, but many doubted. Apparently, even if the risen Christ is standing right in front of you, that doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to notice. Doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to give up, you know, that old way of thinking about the world and the same tired old ways that we've always thought about it. Our doubts, our fears, our habitual thinking may be hardwired. We seem to be mentally and spiritually so oftentimes, you know, stuck in a particular pattern of thought, a particular worldview. Can anything break us open? Break us out of that into a realm of what is new and unexpected? When was the last time you were surprised about anything? Really surprised. I think we human creatures have, you know, such strong convictions that we know just exactly how the universe works. And you know, if we keep going at life the way we've always gone at it, then, you know, things are going to pretty much shake out as we would anticipate and expect. But Easter really challenges that orientation and says, you know, open your eyes. open your hearts. Understand, you know, that there are miracles in every direction. I think Easter is the invitation to see things we've never seen before. You know, and to move past our old imprisoning assumptions and beliefs. You know, this world keeps getting larger if we pay attention. The universe is expanding. One day a seeker came upon the Buddha sitting under his Bo tree, and at the sight of the Buddha's serenity and stillness and peace, this man was filled with awe. He'd never seen such strength or such spiritual power in a person before. And so he asked the Buddha, he said, "Are you a god, sir?" And the Buddha shook his head, "No." Well, then the man asked, "Are you an angel?" Again, the Buddha shook his head, "No." And again, the man asked him, "Well, then maybe are you a spirit?" The Buddha shook his head, "No." And finally, the Buddha said, "I'm awake." I mean, that for me is really the message of Easter. Wake up. No need for us to be, you know, entombed in tired old ways of thinking and empty rituals and self-indulgent fantasies about paradise. Eternity is now. The realm of God is right here. Kairos. The resurrection power of God is alive and is at work in this world. It's coming to a neighborhood near you. It knows where you live. And you can no more refuse it or hold out against it than you can announce to spring that you've decided you're going to stick with winter. Or to stay entombed in some, you know, frozen past. When we sing, "Christ the Lord is risen today," what are we saying? We're not singing, "Christ was raised 2,000 years ago, goody for him, way to go, Jesus." No, we're singing about present reality. We're singing about a truth in our midst. A truth that is known in the human heart and spirit. A reality that opens itself up to the miracle and the wonder of this world around us. You know, each moment of our lives is an opportunity for rebirth. If we can stay awake to the Spirit of the living God, breaking in around us all the time, with every breath we take. Musicians get it, I think. Musicians understand this. You know, musicians listen for that pure note and then they tune their instrument to it. But all too often, you and I, you know, we hear and tune our lives to this kind of dissonant noise, the banal blare of mass culture and all the shouting and the claims that it makes around us, you know, to earn more and spend more, to be afraid. To go with the path of least resistance. You know, we bend our ears to the barking of the television, pundits and politicians and preachers, to all these warnings and fears and anxieties that beset us. Too seldom do we tune our lives, you know, to that clear note that rings within us. Call it Christ or what you will, but something is rising up in our lives if we'll allow it. To know it, you got to listen. You got to be awake and open, alive to its possibilities. The beauty and the splendor and grace of faith is intended to raise us up, to open up our imaginations and help us to hope. I think the great victory, you know, the great triumph of Jesus is that he places religion where it belongs, which is inside the human heart. like everybody else who spent time on this planet, Jesus was human. Like you and I, born in mystery and grace. He lived in a body. In the humbleness of a fragile human soul. He knew memory and hope like you and I. He knew fear and failure and uncertainty like you and I. He knew wakefulness and sleep and the twilight language of dreams. He had friends. He had enemies. He was loved and he was understood and he was praised and he was misunderstood. His eyes saw what you and I see, you know, the night and its endless stars. He knew hunger and thirst like you and I, the weight of bread in hand, the music of the human voice, the smell of rain, the cry of birds. He knew bitterness and bliss like you and I. And he taught us, teaches us, that the best place to experience grace and joy is inside your own holy human self. Jesus lived a holy, very human life that looked beyond the boundaries. He was what people ought to be to themselves and to others and to God. And under the greatest trials of fear and terror, he proved himself unyielding in his conviction that God holds power enough to mend our lives, to fix the broken parts, to help us find, you know, the peace and the purpose that we all of us seek. I think we find God, we taste heaven when we can move beyond our fears. When we look beyond the boundaries of nation or tribe or religion to that boundless love that recognizes no barriers, none. In our world where we see so much bad, egotistical and cruel religion, to follow the way of Christ, I think, to celebrate the risen Christ means to, you know, radiate compassion in all things, to love one another, to celebrate and to claim the divine that is in everyone. And indeed, part of that transformation means standing up to those powers and principalities that were responsible for his death, standing up to bring down those empires that exist even now. By faith in the risen Christ, let our aim be to secure that sacred place where everybody is assured welcome, where everybody is seen and treated as a holy child of God, and where everyone is free to offer strength to each other. I don't know what your own personal resurrection means, but my prayer today, every day, is that we will all of us find some way to taste that and to touch it. May we all of us find ourselves alive and awake, at least open to the possibility, you know, that the love that first spangled the sun and the stars is also alive and aflame in our own souls. I think that too is part of what Easter means, part of what it means to even consider, you know, the possibility of an empty tomb. Peace of God.
Listen.